1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, discerning the true source for spiritual discernment. John wrote 1 John to counter heretical views, so the epistle provides discernment and is thus filled with contrasts, light and darkness, in chapter 1, 6 and 7, chapter 2, 8 through 11, love of world and love of God, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, children of God and children of the devil, chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and 16 to 21. We view the epistle for much-needed spiritual discernment in our own era, and we begin by discerning the true source of spiritual discernment, as is taught by the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that our joy may be full. There's a manuscript variation there. Unfortunately, the Textus Receptus behind the King James had the less quality one. It says, our joy. John is writing this so that the apostles themselves would have the joy of seeing other Christians fellowship with them. And, of course, God would enjoy it as well. Well, the true revealer of God's truth is Jesus Christ, verses 1 and 2. Many Bible teachers have thought that John's phrase, from the beginning, refers back to the creation of the universe, as described in Genesis 1:1 and John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. However, the epistle of 1 John is concerned with the original message about Jesus Christ, so it seems more likely that John referred to the beginning of the Gospel proclamation. If so, the usage is similar to that which is found in 1 John 2, verse 7 and 24, and chapter 3, verse 11. I agree with the author here of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. You need to go with how the immediate book is interpreting something, and that's how he uses beginning throughout the rest of this epistle, so we go with it. Accordingly, John was asserting that what he proclaimed was the truth about God's Son that was originally witnessed by the apostles who had direct contact with him. So John and all the apostolic eyewitnesses described this proclamation as one which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. You see, there were a lot of people at that particular time, and a lot of leaders of cults that were rising. And John is writing this. He's Paul the Apostle and Peter have already been martyred. So, and John is trying to leave a legacy for the church. And he's saying, look, we saw him, we heard him, we handled him. And there are some people that say Jesus wasn't in a real body because, anyway, that's a docetist and whatnot. John says, baloney. We saw him, we heard him, we felt him. And what we're telling you is the truth. The other guys out there, they're not telling the truth. Now, this true revealer of God's truth, Jesus Christ, has been truthfully testified to us by the apostles. That's verses 1 through 3a. John obviously meant to clarify that he, along with the other apostolic eyewitness, truly witnessed Jesus Christ, and they're having empirically means the five senses, have empirically heard with their ears, they've seen him with their eyes, they looked upon him, they touched him with their hands. They touched Jesus in his human body. In fact, John was the one that leaned back on the breast of the Lord at the Last Supper. So he says, this was not a spirit, this is a being. He was there. We saw him, and we felt him, we heard him. Now, in view of Proverbs 20, verse 12, that claims that God made the seeing eye and the hearing ear as the best means for a human being to test reality empirically, John's statement about seeing, hearing, and also touching Jesus Christ in his humanity provides undisputable evidence that the apostles who are multiple human witnesses. This isn't just one witness. These are multiple witnesses. And that's in accordance with the law. Remember, Deuteronomy 19:15 says that at the minimum of 2 to 3 witnesses, every fact is going to be established. Well, you had 12 apostles there. And, of course, one of them is Judas. He betrayed the Lord. But you have 11 men, reputable men, who saw him, who heard him, who were with him for 3.5 years. Furthermore, John with the other apostolic eyewitnesses were declaring to John's readers what they had seen and heard from the revealer of God's truth, Jesus Christ. This statement coincides with Christ's statement in his high priestly prayer of John 17:20 that people would believe and be saved through the word of his apostolic eyewitnesses like John. So Jesus Christ, the revealer of God's truth, was truthfully and authoritatively communicated to us by the ministries of the apostles of the Lord Jesus. And that also includes their writings in the New Testament, not only their words and their preaching, which we are not privy to, but we have their writings. So, the apostolic eyewitness of the true revealer of God's truth, Jesus Christ, is declared in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. We know this from verse 3b. The verb rendered declare, John says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. The word declare is apangelomen. Whenever you have two gammas together, you have an N sound in front of the G. Apangelomen. The present active indicative apangelo means to proclaim. In other words, John says, I am currently proclaiming him to you. So what John is proclaiming in this written form, in this written passage that we have here, is the apostolic eyewitness and his testimony. That's extremely important because this is not something that we get because we feel Christ or we experience him in some way. It's tangibly written in the black and white letters that we have here. And in John's case, it was written on papyrus. It was actual. That's the fact. And we want to get away from experience. There's a Bible study that's circulating right now where the Bible teacher brings up Bible passages, but then he talks about experiencing God, and there's absolutely no connection between the Bible verses and the experience of God. It just leaps off into experience. That's not biblical. Biblical truth is based on fact, as it is recorded in the passage. So that's what should be hitting us between the eyes. It's what's actually written on the page. So in other words, what John wrote in 1 John, what we've recorded here, there, is precisely and with full divine authority the recorded truth about the true revealer of God's truth, Jesus Christ. This is why I'm a hound for Scripture. I always say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Because the truth that we have, and the Spirit of God chooses the truth that is actually written in the book, in the Bible. It's not some guess out there. It's not some experience. It's fact. Now, we will experience things because of the truth that is written there, but it's the truth that is written in the objective Scripture that we use as our basis of truth. Now, the result of this proclamation of God's truth was that the joy of the apostles might be complete. The better manuscripts read our, not your, as the King James Version reads, for the apostles' joy would be complete only if John's readers shared it with them. See, the apostles were fellowshipping with the Lord. They knew the Lord. They fellowshipped. Well, they wanted to see other people fellowship with the Lord. And then their joy as apostles would be full, of course. Our joy, when we enter into the joy of fellowshipping with the Lord, it's amazing. The true source in lesson, the true source of spiritual discernment is the Lord Jesus. And since his apostolic eyewitnesses authoritatively shared that truth as recorded in 1 John, we can be sure of discerning spiritual truth by heeding 1 John, that we might enjoy spiritual fellowship with the apostles, with God the Father, and with Jesus Christ to their full joy. And, of course, we would have the joy of fellowshipping with the Lord as well. So may we trust the truthfulness of 1 John to apply it for discernment, truly to fellowship with the Lord. Once again, I can't overemphasize this fact enough. We don't experience the Lord, or we don't experience the truth of God by the feelings that we have as a response to what is written in the Scripture. We experience fellowship with God when we obey the objective Scripture that is written there. It's interesting, when the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he was doing the will of the Father, but it was not a joyful experience. It was full of agony, but he was in the center of the will of God. We know that because it's written in Scripture. And Jesus stated as such. And of course, as a result of his dying on the cross, the Father has rewarded him, exalted him, seated him at his right hand, turned the running of the universe over to him, at least for the current time being. But the experience of the cross was not a cakewalk. It was terrible, but it's the will of God. So you got to watch it. Don't go by experience as the criteria of what is truth. Truth is what is objectively in the Word of God.